Welcome to the Apple Seed, where we bring you and your family great stories from great storytellers. On today's episode, we'll hear a story from Motoko and Ishubumpus, tellers from Massachusetts.
He looked down to see a turtle far beyond where one should be. He marveled that she spoke, and even more at her beauty.
And we'll hear a song from Andy Offutt Irwin, a storyteller and singer-songwriter from Georgia.
This was my kid's lullaby. And a lullaby, as you know, is a song designed to render children unconscious.
Here's Motoko with the traditional Japanese folktale called Urashima the Fisherman, set in rhyme by Ishubumpus, who also joins the story with his guitar and voice. We recorded Motoko and Ishu live in the Appleseed studio. Happy to bring them to you now.
For those of you who don't know me, I grew up in Osaka, Japan. And when I was 20 years old, I came to Massachusetts as an exchange student to University of Massachusetts. And once I got there, I liked it a lot. I decided to live there. I tell Japanese folk tales, and here is my very favorite Japanese folk tale, and my partner Eshu has written it into a rhymed verse, and it's a very famous story. It's called Urashima the Fisherman.
Wind and sand, waves and sea, seagull's life is wild and free. Wind and sand, waves and sea, as will always be. Life may be but a passing dream, like sand through your fingers, the days drift by. But your heart will always long to be free, like the seagulls that soar through the sky.
Urashima went out to the sea, his mother left behind. He hoped this day will bring the luck to ease his troubled mind. Out in the sun-drenched silence, he laid back in his boat. He sipped a little water, just enough to cool his throat. No amount of water could have quenched his inner thirst. He thirsted for a life that could be lived, not just rehearsed. Throughout the day, he lay there gazing up into the sky. Was this his fate to sit and wait while life just drifted by? That evening, with a heavy heart, he rowed back to the shore. He hoped the last few coins he had would last for a few days more. He stretched his nets across the boat, where overnight they would dry. It's just all too familiar, he lamented with a sigh. He saw some boys tormenting a small turtle they found and just about to lift it up and dash it on the ground. Urashima was nothing if not kind in heart and soul. He ran to stop them, but this time his kindness took its toll. In order to keep those boys from killing on that beach, he reached into his pocket and he gave them one coin each. He brought the little turtle back and laid him in the sea. You must live, my friend, he said. I want you to be free. Now, not only was he going home without a single fish, but that night, their last few grains of rice would fill their dinner dish. He let his mother finish off the little food he found and promised her that better days were due to come around.
Wind and sand, waves and sea, seagull's life is wild and free. Wind and sand, waves and sea, as will always be.
Early on the following day, he climbed back into his boat. Something inside told him to find someplace more remote. He followed that inner voice and rowed far from the shore. Finally, he cast his nets and waited like before. Urashima. It was in this dreamy state that he thought he heard a call. But when he looked around, he could see no one at all. Urashima. The moment he laid back again, he heard the voice once more. But this time, the voice was even closer than before. Urashima. He looked down to see a turtle, far beyond where one should be. He marveled that she spoke, and even more at her beauty. Urashima-san, you saved my little baby yesterday, and it is that kindness I came here to repay. I will take you to my home. It's hidden deep below the sea. It is the greatest gift I have for you to share with me. She brought him down to the ocean floor where lived the Dragon King, a palace where his guests would never want for anything. Well hidden from the human eye, there on the ocean floor, you could have searched for 1,000 years and never found the door. What mystic genius architect designed a coral reef that hid a palace deep within to challenge all belief? Brilliant red and violet framed the gates of royal blue. Noble swordfish standing guard, adorned in matching hue. Inside, the floor was made of tiles of lustrous mother of pearl. The eerie lights from the crystal walls made it feel like another world. The opulence, the magnificence, and wonder of this place made Urashima fall to his knees and cover up his face. After all, he was a simple man, not meant to see such things. In fact, this place was far beyond what's seen by mortal kings. But even this did not compare to what next met his eyes. For the princess now no longer wore her mortal turtle disguise. Urashima could not believe how fortune turned his way. This beauty beyond beauty was inviting him to stay. So there he was, a fisherman who drew life from the sea, now being welcomed down into her deepest mystery. Down at the Dragon Palace, life seemed just an endless game. Minutes, hours, days, even years, all seemed the same. He was treated like a nobleman. He feasted like a king, while wondrous creatures all around would play and dance and sing. He only thought of the princess. He forgot the world above. It was as if each day they met again and fell in love. Urashima was happy for the first time in his life, intoxicated by the thought of life devoid of strife.
Wind and sand, waves and sea. Seiko's life is wild and free. Wind and sand, waves and sea, as will always be.
Then one day, a moment came that turned his joy into gloom. It was when the princess brought him down to her secret room. It was a special garden, like a monument to time, a panoramic view from summer's heat to winter's rhyme. Each wall was a window looking out somewhere on earth. The first one was springtime, showing nature in rebirth. The second scene was summer, filled with passion, fire, and youth. A flamboyant burst of color, a frantic search for truth. The third scene was autumn. Leaves and seeds upon the ground. The fruit of nature's labor, the real truth had been found. The final scene was winter, nature's well-earned sleep, blanketed with snow, spirits hidden deep. Thoughts of his own world came rushing back into his mind. What would happen to his mother if he left that world behind? I must return, he said. I must go back to my own home. My mother will be needing me. I've left her all alone. He thought the princess would be sad or maybe even cry, But when he said he had to leave, she did not blink an eye. He felt puzzled and hurt at how she didn't seem to care. He saw no sorrow in her eyes, no sign of sadness there. What he thought was love had only been her natural way. She gave so freely of herself, and yet, to his dismay, she would cling to nothing but the moment she was in. Once that moment passed, she simply let the next begin. But she understood how much he needed something more, so she gave him one last gift before she sent him back to the shore. From the sleeve of her kimono, she took out a special box made of shells and lacquer with two simple golden locks. "You must keep this with you always," she said with urgency. "And with all your heart, there's one thing you must promise me. Never look inside this box. Do not open it at all. Promise you won't open it, whatever may befall." He vowed to keep the promise, and she gave him one last kiss. The kiss marked the ending of his time of joy and bliss.
Wind and sand, waves and sea, a seagull's life is wild and free. Wind and sand, waves and sea, as will always be.
The next thing he knew, he was sitting in his boat with no idea how he got there or how long he had been afloat. The promise and that little box were all he had to show for the many days he had spent in that fantastic place below. The next few moments seemed to race ahead, and so did he. Soon he found himself dragging his boat out of the sea. He didn't know how many days he had left his mother all alone, but he was sorry to have left her without warning for so long. He ran toward his house, but what had happened to the door? Suddenly he realized that he had never seen this place before. All around were strangers. Nothing looked the same, and not a single person recognized his family name. It was not until he met an old man far outside of town that he finally heard the story, and his heart sunk to the ground.
"Yes, I have heard that name before, so very long ago. It was a tale when I was young that every child would know. Fisherman went out to the sea, never to return. Where he went or why or how, no one would ever learn. But what really made it curious, what really caused our fears, is that his boat has been waiting there for 300 years. Dawn broke at that moment. Urashima did see that he was as far from home as he could ever be. He did not know these people. He didn't know their ways. And no one would believe where he had spent his last few days. He thought about his mother and the lonely way she died, and about the life he could have lived if he had just tried. There was nothing left there for him after so many years of change. The way they dressed, the way they spoke, everything was strange. He thought about the princess, how she made him feel so free. The only thing left for him was to go back to the sea.
Wind and sand, waves and sea, a seagull's life is wild and free. Wind and sand, waves and sea, as will always be.
Princess! Princess! He gazed off into the sky
as he stood there on the beach. All his choices now seemed so far out of reach. He looked out toward the sea. Then he looked back to the land. Then he realized he did have something in his hand. The box the princess gave him. He was still clutching it tight. Could this hold the secret that could make things turn out right? After all, it was the one thing to connect him to his past. Maybe he could wake up from this nightmare at last. It was not that he forgot about the promise he had made. He just could not imagine worse than the price he'd already paid. The locks were opened easily. He lifted up the lid. Inside, a little puff of smoke was the only thing it hid. A long white beard began to grow. He felt overwhelmingly cold. Time was catching up to him. He rapidly grew old. 300 years caught up with him and finally set him free. The last white wisps of the beard became the white foam on the sea. Urashima went out to the sea. His life he left behind. But when he did return, it was himself he could not find. Life is full of choices, with results you cannot foresee. Know yourself to know which binds you down or sets you free. No matter your experience, from mundane to sublime, your identity is bound to those with whom you share your time.
Wind and sand, waves and sea, seagull's life is wild and free. Wind and sand, waves and sea, as will always be.
Life may be but a passing dream, like sand through your fingers,
is the days drift by.
But your heart will always long to be free, like the seagulls that soar through the sky.
Wind and sand, waves and sea, a seagull's life is wild and free. Wind and sand, waves and sea, as will always be, as will always be, as will always be.
That was Motoko and Ishubumpus with Urashima the Fisherman. Now, the passage of time can be tricky stuff. Sometimes there's a little magic in it. And listening to this story about the passage of time makes me remember a time years ago when I was asked to play music at a wedding. It was a wedding of people I didn't know, but they were really nice folks. And they asked me to play some music before the ceremony and then play some music after the ceremony. And it means that I was in the room for the ceremony. And there, at the front of the room, was, as you can imagine, the bride. And also in the room, there was the bride's mother, much older than the bride, but like her in a lot of ways. And also in the room, there was the bride's older sister, bouncing a baby on her hip. I could see a resemblance to the bride in the sister, and also, funnily enough, in the baby. And the bride's little sister was there too, probably just 12 or 13 years old. And I watched that ceremony unfold with all those people who were like each other in so many ways because they were family. And I know it sounds weird, but for a moment, I felt like I was seeing not a baby and a little girl and a bride and an older married sister and a grandmother, but rather that I was seeing one person at different places in a long life. That person as a baby, and that person as a young girl, and that person as a bride, and that person as a mother, and then a grandmother. And I know it was just a moment of imagination, but it has stayed with me. If I try, I can think of myself at all those points on the line, as a tiny boy, as a school child, as a young man, as a husband and father, and as a grandfather. And sometimes I wonder what all those guys who are me, passing through time at different stages, might say to each other. What the grandfather might learn from the schoolboy, if the schoolboy could say things to the grandfather, and if the grandfather would listen. It seems worth thinking about. After all, the passage of time is tricky stuff, and sometimes there's a little magic in it. That's where Motoko's story took me. Where did the story take you, and who will you take along?
Why, the conversation is guaranteed when we listen to stories on the Appleseed.
There's a lot coming up, but first I want to introduce you to another show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. The show is called Top of Mind, and it's perfect for people who want to engage with tough issues that matter in our communities, but are turned off by how polarizing and divisive these conversations can sometimes be. Each week, Top of Mind tackles one tough, important topic. An award-winning host, Julie Rose, talks with guests who have complicated perspectives that are sure to challenge you. Now, they're not trying to change your mind, just give you the chance to find more empathy and clarity so you can become a better citizen and a kinder neighbor. Listen to Top of Mind on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, all kinds of ways to find Top of Mind, and listen whenever you like, whenever you need it. Top of Mind with Julie Rose from BYU Radio.
Simultaneously laughing, we're all agreed that we love, love, love the Appleseed.
It's such a pleasure to be with you on today's episode of The Appleseed. That was new music you just heard. That's by Andy Offutt Irwin, a longtime friend of the show, wonderful storyteller and musician from Covington, Georgia. Andy wrote an entire song for the 10th anniversary episode of The Appleseed, and you can, of course, hear that episode and that full song in our archive. And we liked it so much that we chopped it up into tiny little pieces, and you can hear it from time to time, or at least some of those pieces in episodes of The Appleseed. And speaking of Andy, here's a piece called The Light Went Away, a song about the passage of time, and we think it's a great follow-up to Urashima the Fisherman, the story that you heard in the first half of today's show. Here's Andy Offutt Irwin on The Appleseed.
I was doing an 8-week residency in Garden Hill School in Atlanta, and I have a program. Actually, Sherry Norfolk put it in a book, my program for children, for kindergartners. It's called I Got Those Low-Down, Dirty, Emergent Reader Blues. And literally was teaching 12-bar blues forms to kindergartners. And at that school, if you don't speak English by the time you're 5, and sometimes you're born in Atlanta, if you don't speak English by the time you're 5, they're kind of funnel kids to that school, and there are kids who speak English and kids who don't. And the teacher did this brilliant thing. She put a pencil and a piece of clay in the windowsill, and there was a shadow, and she drew, and the clay was on top of a piece of paper, and she drew a line around the shadow, and we went to lunch. And when we came back from lunch, of course, the shadow had moved away from the pencil. And this little girl who was from Korea said, at night, we're in the shadow of the earth when it turns away from the sun. And then all of us wrote this song. This is this was my kid's lullaby. And a lullaby, as you know, is a song designed to render children unconscious. That's a Pierce Pettis joke. I utterly stole that. So when I go up on the balls of my feet, you can sing, the light went away. Will you do that with me? The light went away. One more time for practice. The light went away. Where did it go? The light went away. Nothing to see with. The light went away. Somewhere far. I think I can see Mars. Because the light went away.
The light went away. Where did it go? The light went away. Nothing to see with. The light went away. And I saw a shooting star. It was a meteor that came down, gone before it hit the ground. When it's dark, we are in the shadow of the earth. When it turns away from the sun, then we have night. But on the other side of the earth, it is day. They have the light. Side of the earth, it is day, they have the light. The light went away. Where did it go? The light went away. Nothing to see with. The light went away. And it's time to hit the hay. Cause the light went away. Time to sleep. Don't make a peep. It's time to sleep.
Andy Offutt Irwin with The Light Went Away. Andy, what a lovely song. Thanks for sharing it with us. A reminder that even in our darkest times, the light is shining somewhere. We hope you enjoyed our storytellers Motoko Ishubumpus and Andy Offutt Irwin and their stories and music today. We hope that the stories and music that you heard today spark memories and stories and thoughts of your own that you'll pass along to the people that you love. At the Appleseed, we believe that sharing and listening to great stories can change your family's world.
The Appleseed is produced by Wendy Folsom,
Sam Payne,
and Brian Tanner.
Our audio engineers are Ashton Parkinson
and Carly Wilson.
The rest of the Appleseed team is Kelly Wehrmeister,
Trent Horton,
Evadane Hendricks,
Miriam Irsay,
and Tristan Schetzel.
A special thanks to the subscribers of our podcast who rate us or leave reviews.
You help people find the show.
We also love to receive emails at theappleseed@byu.edu.
Your thoughts and comments help us to shape the future of the Appleseed.
We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family.
And you can find episodes of the Appleseed wherever podcasts are found, on the BYU Radio app or at byuradio.org/appleseed.
I'm Sam Payne, and the whole team can't wait to be with you again on the Appleseed.